Hello and welcome to another episode of Everyman Sports. My name is Chad. I'm the owner-operator of this channel. With me today is my wife, Lee. Hi, Lee. How are you?
Hi, Chad. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you very much. It's Lee's first time on the program, so thank you for coming on.
You're very welcome.
And she's also on because we want to talk about a little bit about the All-Star Weekend that's happening right now, currently in the New York area. What we did on Friday was we went to the T-Mobile All-Star Fan Fest at the Jacob Javits Center, which is the big convention center in New York City. Usually we actually go for Comic-Con, because we're comic fans, we enjoy that sort of stuff, the pop culture aspects of it, so for us that's fun. But we went yesterday because for the longest time, around All-Star festivities, I always hear about this fan fest, and I always see like footage of, you know, people going and enjoying different activities there. So I wanted to go this year. This was my big thing because the All-Star game's at Citi Field. Even though New York had the All-Star game in 2008, you know, that was Yankee stuff, and for me that, you know, it's not as interesting as Met stuff. So I wanted to go, and I wanted to take part in a lot of the activities. So we went to the All-Star Fan Fest, which was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. Did you enjoy it as well?
Yeah, I had a great time. I personally don't see the issue with Yankee stuff, as I am a Yankee fan.
You are a Yankee fan, yes.
It's a little bit of a mixed marriage here. But I had a really good time. They did a really nice job of incorporating the history of the game of baseball, the history of the All-Star game, with a lot of interactive activities. On Friday, it was also Kids Day, so they had a whole area dedicated to kids' activities. They had some of the most intricate balloon animals I've ever seen.
Yeah, there was a lot of, there was a portion of it, because I have the map here, there was it was a Party City Rookie League. Where they had a lot of mascots. There were a lot of mascots there, which was fun to see.
Surprisingly, no Mr. Met, though.
I'm guessing they're saving him for the other days, because the Fan Fest runs Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday up until about 6:30 on Tuesday to get ready for the All-Star game. So I think later on in the week, because Saturday and Sunday they're expecting to be big crowds.
Right.
Because, you know, even though it's the summer, there's still people who work or have camp or, you know, one reason or another, they're not going to be around. So I think they wanted to, you know, try and hold off to those big
Yeah, I think having gone to Comic-Con the last, how many years have we been going?
Several.
Yeah. At the Javits Center, where I'm used to the crowded, teeming sea of humanity, I was shocked at, for us, how empty it was, which was really nice because we really got to experience the activities there.
Right.
You got to get an autograph from John Franco.
Yeah.
Which was sort of your big
yeah, well, that was, yeah. Yeah, my whole plan was to go, for me, well, as soon as we got there, We got in, we had, because they're time tickets. You can only go in at a certain point during the day, and they have the time on it. Our tickets were for 10 a.m., which worked well for us. So 10 a.m., so we got in. We went with my father because he wanted to go. When I told him what we were doing, he's like, hey, that sounds great. I want to go too. So decided to bring him too. He was interested. And as soon as we got in, my whole thing was I wanted to get over to get the autographs. And the autograph sessions were going to about 12. There's Doc Gooden and John Franco. Of the two, I was more interested in getting John Franco. John Franco, even though Doc Gooden is more widely known and more widely celebrated for his big years in the 80s, I was more interested in John Franco. John Franco was there during those, he was the best player during the Mets' low times during the early 90s. And so I really wanted to, you know, see him because he's the one I remember more so than Gooden. I remember Gooden, but more so John Franco. So I went to go get his autograph, and I did. It was a little dicey, though, because They have the we like to call them Mickey Mazes, the long line setup. You know, where you go in and out, in and out, and they had a sign-in sheet almost. There was a person at the front of it, and they took your name, and then you had to stand in a line. But the line was before you could get onto the mazed line. So for some reason, I don't know why they decided to do that. I didn't realize there would be such a bum rush for, John Franco, but whatever. So it got a little, I was a little worried because they had sent in the second group. So the second standby line went in, and I was part of the third standby line. But then as they're going through the third standby line by name, the volunteer stops right in front of me and says, okay, I can't let anybody else go into the next standby line because I have no more room on this paper, basically. So 66 people had signed their name on. So 66 people got to go in. So I was waiting there at the end, and there's maybe about 15 minutes left before John Franco has to be done signing. So I'm standing there I can't believe it. The one thing I want to do, I wouldn't be able to get to do. Luckily, though, one of the volunteers was like, hey, we have 20 more minutes. Can we take 20 more people? They're like, yeah, yeah. So I was the first one to go into that next line. Got his autograph. I was very happy. That was great. While I was doing that, you were doing the...
I was online for the, I guess it was the Home Run Derby. Mm-hmm. They had, a number of interactive events set up all around the floor of the Javits Center. So I, like most people, was most interested in batting. So they had some batting cages set up. So the batting cages that I was waiting at actually happened to be right next to the John Franco line.
Mm-hmm.
So we were able to sort of spot where the other one was in line, and it worked out. The timing worked out perfectly because by the time you got your autograph, I was next to be called to the batting cage, so you and I were able to do that together.
Yeah.
The other thing I really enjoyed was the presence of the Hall of Fame.
Yes.
And a lot of the exhibits that they set up. They had a whole exhibit on, the history of the All-Star Game. They also had a history of the Mets. They had a small display case for the All-American Girls Baseball League.
Mm-hmm.
Which, as myself, as most women I know, ever since League of Their Own came out, it's sort of been a very strong interest of mine.
Yes.
And actually, one of my highlights was I got to take a picture with two of the women who played in that league and were also featured at the end of A League of Their Own. So that was really exciting for me. They also had a really nice display for the Negro League and the Hispanic Players League. So there was a really nice representation of history and exciting ways to get kids involved in the game. They also had a mascot.
Home Run Derby,
which unfortunately, because we were both online for different things, we weren't able to see very clearly.
I heard a little bit. I saw just a little bit. I didn't see them really hitting. Yeah, they had this very small baseball field set up. And they had a lot of T-ball stuff. Since it was Kid Day, they had a lot of T-ball games and stuff. Overall, we were there probably...
We were there...
About 5-6 hours.
Yeah,
6 hours, I'd say.
Yeah, we got in a little bit after 10.
Right. And we left just a little bit before 4.
So,
From what I saw, unless you absolutely have to do each and every single... thing like the there was a fast pitch, like how fast can you throw it. There was one where you there was the Home Run Derby, and then there was one where you could just hit the baseball. There's one where you try to throw a baseball through a tire. There was one where you play video games. There was a thing with Scott's grass.
Yeah, it looked like virtual skee ball.
It did.
And if you played that, it looked like you got a grass-based mohawk.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. Which
cute.
I saw a lot of kids walking around with those, which was pretty funny.
They also have these steal a base, steal a taco.
Yeah, where you could do base running. So unless you're looking to get, you can get maybe all of them done in one day. But one after that, unless you're really willing to do them on other days, the other part about it is the autographs, which I'm sure a lot of people, especially adults, are most interested in going. But you can pretty much get it done in a day. If you want to come back for like autographs, then that's probably what you'll do, because you know they're autographing for maybe an hour and a half at a time. So you could probably, I mean, there's a lot you can get done, but you know, at a certain point, we were just kind of like, yeah, I think we're good. I think we're done.
Yeah. The other exciting thing for us was, and again, having experienced the Javits Center really only for Comic-Con, they had food stands set up throughout the floor. So,
which was very surprising, because they don't really, during Comic-Con, it's
very, nothing.
It's very crowded. I mean, there are so many stations and it's very crowded. It's just rows and rows of different tables and, you know, all sorts of stuff.
I was thrilled beyond belief that I was able to have a cup of matzo ball soup and a nice hot pastrami sandwich and sit down and eat it. Normally, our food at the Javits Center are peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and granola bars that I have packed before we leave the house.
Right. And also during Comic-Con, they also have them way at the back.
Yeah.
Like pushed up against the wall. These were pretty much front and center. They had, like, it was a lot of ballpark fare. Hot dogs, which was great.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of stuff you would find at the ballparks. There was a Philly cheesesteak stand. I mean, just, you know, since it's New York, there's like raw food, there's vegan food. There was a lot of different options.
There was a good-looking ice cream truck too, and it was really spread throughout. Mm-hmm. And the floor layout I really liked a lot, because there was enough space in between that you could really see what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just the autographing, not just the experiential stuff, but there's also a level of consumerism that goes on here. And we were able to pick up two books for our new little two-month boy. So that was really exciting. Get one of them signed by the author and illustrator.
Yeah.
Of course, they have the official All-Star Game merchandise area.
Yeah.
And they had a neat thing where they measured your hat size.
That was really cool. It was almost futuristic. You stood in like this little
looked like a transporter.
Yeah, it almost looked like a Star Trek transporter. You stepped on it. You had your 2 feet and, you know, where you need to stand. And then, like, you looked at a screen. And the screen, all of a sudden, you would see, like, your picture in the top corner. And it would do, like, almost like a 360. You would see, like, your face mapped and stuff. And it would tell you your hat size. My hat size is 7 3/8, which I already knew from previous hats. But it was nice to know, okay, I've got the right one. My father did it. He thought it was the coolest thing. He was 7 1/2. And you were?
I was 7 flat.
7 flat, which was good. Yeah, there was a huge Major League Baseball clubhouse store, just a lot of the official merchandise, and it just really looked cool. It was very large, and actually, that would pretty much be the last thing you did, because at the end of the cashier, that was the exit of the Javits Center.
Yeah.
Along with my dad, he was all over the place. He just goes everywhere, and he's more interested in just
and talks to anyone. Well,
he talks to anybody, but he likes that stuff, and he loves to take pictures. He was always asking, his phone wasn't working, so he asked me to take a lot of pictures. Take pictures of this, take pictures of that. I was more than happy to. It's just funny, but that's who he is.
And it's as a baseball fan, it was great to go with both Chad and his dad, because they're both impressive fonts of sports and baseball information.
Ooh, impressive fonts, I like
that. You know, not just who is this guy signing, but you know, my father-in-law can get into the stats, and you know they talk, oh, you remember watching this game. So that was really exciting. The other fun thing for me was because obviously this is the New York metropolitan area. Obviously, WFAN is the sports radio that both Chad and I grew up listening to. So I was able to actually see Mike Francesa in the flesh, having pretty much grown up with his voice, with my father listening to Mike and the Mad Dog.
Mm-hmm.
So to actually see him was, it was kind of cool. And then Chad's uncanny ability to predict exactly what he's going to say and how he'll say it.
Well, you listen to him long enough, you get the idea. Yeah. If you're not in the listening area, you can also catch him on the Yes Network, depending on where you live and if the provider has it. But he's the example of a blowhard. He really is. But he, you know, like any good radio personality, you either love him or you hate him, and no matter what, you're going to want to stay on him, especially if you hate him. It's funny because, you know, so many listeners, if you don't like something, it almost kind of gets you mad, but you almost seek it out. And so you go and you listen to that person just to hear what they'll say or a reason to get mad at them. Yeah. But it was fun. Along with my dad going around and enjoying, there was, because he was looking for a lot of card displays. There weren't too many card displays. They're not really big on the selling of, there was a lot of memorabilia, like hats, gloves, balls. There was a cool thing where they had a lot of old mitts that you could buy.
Oh, those were great.
But it was amazing just to see, like, how big your hands were, how many fingers you had to put in, no webbing,
and
little webbing.
The smell of the leather was just incredible.
It was just incredible. And one place he did go was over to, he found one card dealer when I was waiting online for the John Franco autograph, and there were a couple of former major leaguers, Gaylord Perry, a pitcher for the Giants, the Indians. He pitched for a lot of major league teams. There was George Foster, big home run hitter for the Cincinnati Reds during the Big Red Machine era of the 70s. There was Burt Campanaris, who was an Oakland and Kansas City Athletic great. Raleigh Fingers, the well-known pitcher with the mustache. He has the curly mustache at the end. So
very Dali-esque.
Yes, very much so. And that's kind of his claim to fame, is the mustache. And my father loves to get stories from people he wants autographs from, or people he meets, famous people. He a lot of when I was waiting online for John Franco, I was watching all these people are taking pictures. Hey, take a photo of me, him signing the autograph, of me holding the baseball with him and all that stuff. Like, I don't know. Pictures are pictures. For me, I'm with my father in this. It's the story that's interesting. My father once asked, met great Buddy Harrelson. You know, hey, I used to listen to you on the radio. You know, on the radio, they called, you know, Harrelson deep in the hole getting the ball. And, you know, you'd tell him that, and Buddy Harrelson would say, you know, yeah, once I got the ball, but then I had to throw it, you know, stuff like that. So he loves to tell stories about that. So I did something like that with John Franco, because John Franco threw a screwball. And they always described it as, like, how do you throw a screwball? Well, it's almost like taking a door handle and turning it towards you, the opposite way you would turn a door handle. So I always thought about that. So I asked him, well, how many fingers do you... I was like, Mr. Franco, I'm a big fan. How many fingers did you use to hold the baseball? And so he took the baseball, I was asking him to sign. He signed it, and he gave me the grip. He showed me the grip using that ball. So I'm like, that's cool. Not only did he sign it, but he actually held the ball like you would throw it. So he got Burt Campanaris' autograph. Burt Campanaris, his big claim to fame was he played all nine positions in one game.
Wow.
I think his second year in 1965. You know, first base, second base, all even pitcher. So he got a Burt Campanaris card. I was like, can you sign it? And can you sign it, you know, played all nine positions? He's like, yeah, I know. And he wrote the exact date.
Wow.
Because that's, that's the kind of thing he remembers. He saw Gaylord Perry. It's like, hey, you want a story about Gaylord Perry? I told my father, you want a story? So I told him a story about how I told him, you know, he said, you know, somebody, a reporter asked Gaylord Perry back in the 60s, hey, when are you going to hit a home run? And, Gaylord Perry would say, oh, when a man lands on the moon. And the night the man, you know, of the moon landing, and Neil Armstrong coming out, and like hours later he hit a home run. So he was like, hey, that's a great story. I got to go back and ask him. And he asked him about it. And Gaylord Perry was like, no. This is how it happened. And it was actually his manager who said, you know, oh, he'll hit a home run when, you know, man lands on the moon. And apparently when they landed on the moon, because he was playing in San Francisco, so it's West Coast time. So when, you know, they had a moment of silence for the landing on the moon and, you know, in commemoration of it at that moment. And then apparently at the bottom, like, the next inning, like the top of the next inning, as soon as that happened, he hit that home run.
That's a cool story.
It's a very cool story, but that's what my father trade, like that's what he deals in. He deals conversation. Yeah, that's his, you know, his money. That's his monetary value, is the stories that he can hear from these people.
Yeah.
So that was a lot of fun. I definitely suggest, if it ever comes to your city again, I know it's coming to Cincinnati next year. Mm-hmm. I know it's going to be in Minnesota. No, I'm sorry. Yeah, Cincinnati in 2015. Next year it's going to be in Minnesota. So if you're ever in Minnesota or Cincinnati in the next 2 years, try to make it over to FanFest. It's a lot of fun. And they do a great job with former players, former greats, and just the team greats as well.
Yeah. And also, we've got the Super Bowl coming up this year.
Super Bowl's coming up, too.
At the new Meadowlands Stadium. So, do they do a...
I think they do.
A fan fest for that?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I mean, I'd love to get over to there.
Yeah, so we might... you might hear us again talking about that.
Yeah, we're very lucky. We get both an All-Star game and a Super Bowl.
There's the Tri-State area this year has a lot of big-time sports events, because we've got the All-Star game, we've got fan fest, or we've got the Super Bowl. There's some college... There's a... college basketball event happening.
Well, the NCAA championship game? I don't know when that's happening.
No.
What?
There's another.
Oh, the NIT? The NIT. Yeah. The NIT every... Actually, the NIT used to be very popular. It used to be very big, because this was way before, you know, the field of 64, even the field of 32. Like, the National Invitational Tournament sometimes would even be bigger than the actual, you know, March Madness NCAA tournament.
Right.
But not so anymore. No, I mean, that happens every year. And so, you know, New York's the hub. But with that, since the All-Star Games, and actually on tomorrow, Sunday, we're recording this on Saturday. On Sunday... I'm going to be going out to Citi Field. They're doing the Futures game, which is kind of like a minor league all-star game, but it's really the top prospects, the ones who will make it into the major leagues. They face off against each other. And then after that is the Legends and Celebrity Softball game. Since 2001, after watching the Home Run Derby, they always talk about how, okay, now it's the Legends and Celebrity Softball game. And so there, you know, if it was in, you know, Seattle, so there'd be like former Mariner players and like celebrities who are from Seattle. I know last year it was in Kansas City, so they had like George Brett, Ozzie Smith, who's from St. Louis, which is like right down the road. And they also had John Hamm from Mad Men. I know John Hamm is from Missouri. He went to the University of Missouri. So he's kind of big in that area. And so I was like, well, I want to do that for the Mets when they come to Citi Field. And, you know, I'm very glad, because they got Dwight Gooden, Darryl Strawberry, Mookie Wilson, who was my favorite as a kid, Mike Piazza, who was my favorite as a teenager and as an adult, John Franco, a lot of big guys that I'm, you know, excited to see, as well as, you know, locals, Chris Rock, who's, I know he's a Met fan. Kevin James is a big Met fan. Yeah. He's going to be there.
George Lopez.
I know he's from California, but I mean, sometimes they'll just be like, it's Ashanti. I don't know where Ashanti's from. She's going to be in Miss America, who's from New York, I think.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm excited to see, because if you go into StubHub and you look at the tickets, because there's the All-Star Sunday, which is the Futures game, and the Celebrity Softball game, and then on Monday is the Home Run Derby, which is the big deal, and then of course Tuesday is the game. Well, the All-Star Game tickets on StubHub are $1,000 for the All-Star Game, and you know what, I'm more than happy to just watch it at home. There was a string of several years where I didn't actually get to watch the All-Star Game, so I'm more than happy to just watch it at home. And then the Home Run Derby, unless you're sitting in a seat where you know a home run's going to come, it's like, what's the point?
Right.
And you know what? I'm a fan, you know, not many people are a fan of Chris Berman, who's on ESPN.
Right.
He does those back calls for the home runs. People get annoyed at it. I like it, because that's what I want. Because it's just that they're hitting home dingers.
Dingers.
They're hitting dingers. That's all I want to see. So I want that showmanship of, hey, back. Okay. And those are hundreds of dollars.
Right.
Like, forget that. I found standing room only seats for $6.
Great.
For Sunday.
Yeah.
I go. You know, I don't know how crowded these things are, so maybe I can be, look, my leg kind of hurts. Mr. Usher, do you mind if I say, okay, I can say, okay, that's fine. Maybe I can get some autographs out of it. I don't know. I just thought it might be fun.
Yeah.
And then Tuesday is the All-Star Game. Did you look at the rosters for the All-Star Game?
A little bit. I've been listening to the radio and sort of hearing about and around who's playing, but if you want to run down.
Well, for the Yankees, they have two. Yeah. They have Robinson Cano. He's starting at second base, and then Mariano.
Yeah.
Mariano is farewell tour, so he gets on, which, you know, it makes sense for him. He deserves to be
on. He absolutely does.
You, of course, have the hilarity of the, you know, the bad teams get the one representative. The Astros get a catcher who I don't even think he's the best player on there. But you know what?
The Astros should also send their mascot because Orbit is pretty cute.
Orbit is very cute. And I like that they went back to the futuristic, you know, it's the old. Because they used to have, the Astros first came around. First of all, they were the Colt 45s.
Right.
And they had a gun on their shirt and stuff. And then they changed it when they got the Astrodome because they were so futuristic. Well, let's be the Astros. And they would have, their mascots were actually like, I'm sorry, the field crew were dressed like aliens. Or not like aliens, I'm sorry, spacemen. Spacemen, they were dressed like spacemen, and they pulled out the tarp and all this stuff, and they, you know, did a lot of stuff on the field. And they had, like, you know, the helmets on and stuff, so.
Yeah, I've noticed there's a lot of similarities between some of the old Astro uniforms and some of the costumes cast members wear at Epcot, especially when Epcot first opened in 82, so.
Well, it was a big deal. You know, a lot of people now really like those throwback uniforms with the tricolor. Orange, yellow, and red. They really like that. So, I'm excited to see the All-Star game. I'm excited for the Mets. They have David Wright. I'm really hoping that Matt Harvey starts. He has been far and away the best pitcher this year. He should have a better record, but that's no fault of his own. I know his ERA.
He is playing on the Mets.
He is playing. Yes, I understand. He's playing on the Mets. It's an off year. Many years are off, but he's got the best. He has the most strikeouts in the National League. He has one of the best ERAs.
Yeah, he is a very he is an impressive,
very impressive
young pitcher. And
so I think at this year, you know, having it at there are a couple of things that as a Met fan and having the All-Star game here that you want. Well, you want it anywhere if you live where your team is hosting the All-Star game. You want good representation, which they have in David Wright and Matt Harvey. I'm not looking for six All-Stars like the Tigers. I'm just looking. You know, David Wright is starting at third base, which got a little iffy because the past couple of years he wasn't voted in to start.
Right.
So you want him to start. And if you have a really good pitcher, you'd love for him to start too. I know there's a big controversy last year that R.A. Dickey, who eventually won the Cy Young for the National League, he really should have started that All-Star game. But because he was a knuckleballer and because Tony La Russa, I don't like, you know, he was like, oh, I'm not going to start him. I'll start, you know, Matt Cain instead and all these other things. So, you know, that got us, as Met fans, that really got us going. Like, what the heck? So it's really, it would be perfect if Matt Harvey starts. And there's no reason why he shouldn't.
Yeah, no, this is definitely his season. And, you know, we had gone to the fireworks game on July 3rd, and it was a Matt Harvey start day, and to see the fan fervor and support was really exciting. And you know, it's, again, I'm a Yankee fan, so coming from a different perspective, but having I have Met fans in my family, obviously married one, and I've noticed with Met fans that when they have a player that is so good and obviously so loves the city, the fans, and the team, the fans really, really get behind them in a way that I don't see with a lot of other teams.
No. I mean, it's the Mets love pitching. I mean, the Mets, the if there's any positive you can take out of the Mets is that they always have good pitching.
They do.
So I'd like for that to continue. So I'd like to thank Lee. Thank you very much for coming on.
You're very welcome.
I would like to thank you all for listening. I'll be a little honest. I've been noticing that where some of my listeners have been coming from. I've seen a couple people in the Bay Area of San Francisco. So I'm sorry you guys aren't doing too well. If you're Giants fans, if you're A's fans, congratulations. You guys are doing a great job. Matt Cain should not have started last year's All-Star game. That's what I'm going to leave on. I know there's some fans, it seems like, out in Seattle. Mm-hmm. So I hope the Mariners do well for you this year, and I hope you guys get a lot of good prospects after the trading deadline. So you can find us on Facebook at Everyman Sports and like us there. You can find us on iTunes at Everyman Sports. Type that in into the podcast area. You can email me at everymansports@gmail.com. That's everymansports@gmail.com. And please continue listening and tell your friends. Thank you very much. Bye.